Hello guys, and welcome to day 9 at Wimbledon. I am Eugene, and I'm joined by the great Tamani Carriol from The Guardian today. How are you doing, Tamani?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. It took a while, but I'm here.
What do you mean it took a while?
Well, with day 9, it's day 9, man.
But you're expecting an invite sooner?
Well, I was hoping, just hoping.
But you're like, you're here on the grounds, like, working till God knows what time. You ain't got time for us.
Don't be silly.
No, but guys, yeah, so Lucy isn't here today. I say fatigued. She's had a long 8 days. So, yeah, we decided that she could take today off.
I've seen her, man. I my desk is by the window in the press room.
Right, of course.
And I just see everyone walking past and Lucy marching to and from the board. You know, from the course, the press conference, they're back again.
That's exactly what I said yesterday. Like, she's been putting in the work. And obviously, she was here. I wasn't here over the weekend. I was back at my real job over the weekend. So she held it down over the weekend. So she had to do, like you said, the matches and press, and then record the podcast with Anastasia for both Saturday and Sunday, and then edit the podcast. Like, she's doing a lot. So she has a well-earned, like, day off today. But she'll be back tomorrow for day 10. But no, I appreciate you joining us tomorrow, or joining me for this episode, Tamani. And it has been a while. Like, I don't think, when was the last time we had you on? We've had you on this year, but I don't know when.
It's been a minute, but it was in the studio at some point.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Studio session. So listen, man, you're a busy man. So yeah, I'm glad I was able to get you today. But let's get into it without further ado, man. What a match from Jasmine Paolini. Played absolutely lights out against the 19th seed Emma Navarro, winning that match 6-2, 6-1 in 58 minutes on centre court. I was blown away by the level at first as well. Like, I thought both actually started quite well. Like, Paolini was actually broken first, but then broke back immediately, and then like never looked back after that. So yeah, she went on to win, I think, the next 5 games after getting broken, and closed out that first set 6-2. And again, it was more of the same in the second. I think Navarro held serve for her opening service game in that second set. And then, yeah, Paolini again, just crushing it, like serving well and then returning, like, just, she was unstoppable, basically. I was trying to tweet as well, like, you guys can probably tell, like, it was me, like, on the Twitters, not Lucy, because I'm quite slow when it comes to, like, the social media posting. Like, Lucy's much more quicker. But I was like trying to like basically find a picture that kind of summed up the way Paolini was playing, and like I did find one. It's hard to explain, but like it just shows her like moving at speed, and I mean the time the match finished, it was a 58 minute match. Like, she was on a mission today. Like, what did you make of her performance, Tamani?
Yeah, I only watched bits of it, but because I was just writing about other things
of course,
as well.
Yeah,
but just obviously it's mad impressive to just the way she dominated that match against Navarro, who'd been playing so well, beat Coco Gauff and Naomi Osaka, of course, and just to see her just continuing to soar in general. Like, it's just, yeah, it's insane. She's dropped one set in the whole tournament.
Unbelievable.
That was obviously that really tough match with Madison Keys, yeah, who then who retired mid-match. But it's crazy just to see her development on grass. I'm thinking of like back in Eastbourne. I spoke to her when she'd just come to Eastbourne. It was her first grass court event. She'd only spent a couple of days on grass, and she was like, you know, she just didn't think she was great on it. You know, she'd never won a main draw match on it. And just to see just the growth and just the confidence.
Because Eastbourne, not to cut you, Eastbourne was her first tournament since the French.
Yeah. She'd taken a couple weeks off. But she played well there. And then she's just continued it. So, yeah, just really impressive. And also just, the mental after making your first Slam final. It's a quick turnaround, different surface, and she's just still bringing it and just playing with such confidence. So, yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, I watching it, because I watched most of it from the screen. I wasn't able to get on court just because I think the Italian press, they kind of have priority, and rightly so. So I wasn't able to like get on center court, unfortunately. But yeah, watching from the TV, you probably get a better kind of viewing of like how the match is being played. And yeah, for me, Tamani, like everything Paolini was doing was just like, it was on another level in terms of like just, and I said that to her in press. I was like, what were you most pleased with? Like, because everything seemed to be working, the forehand, the backhand, serving, like even coming to the net. I didn't mention coming to the net as well. I think she won 17 out of the 18 points that she came to the net. And yeah, here's what she said on that.
Today, yes, was working everything, I have to say. But yeah, maybe the forehand was working really well, I think. Not too many mistakes, I think just few mistakes. And I was trying to hit the ball hard, because if not, she was going to control the point. But yeah, maybe the forehand was working really, really well.
So yeah, that was Paolini responding to my question about what was kind of working best, or the thing she was most pleased with today. And it was the forehand, she said. But I think she did laugh and say that it was pretty much everything, which it was. But yeah, for me, her biggest weapon, I don't know if it is the forehand or the backhand, but I would probably say it is the forehand. Like, she generates a lot of pace on that wing. But she also generates pace on the backhand wing too, and again today she was serving quite well. Like, I think she only got broken that one time, but like finding her spots with the serve, just looking really comfortable, like playing grass court tennis. And again, you put to her the question about her coach, like, because what was the question you asked her? Sorry,
she was saying that her coach had told her in the past that. Well, but even just before this last season, that she can be a good on clay, and she just didn't really believe it.
Yeah.
So she was explaining. Well, I just asked her like what her reaction was when he told her that.
And here's what she said.
I was saying okay, but wasn't believing in that. But yeah, I don't know. He was repeating me also before he's born that I could play well on grass. And yeah, the first days I remember in Eastbourne weren't easy, because you know, you have to adapt. I was coming from clay, as every player, okay. But then, I mean, match by match, I was feeling good, you know. Yeah, I'm enjoying grass now.
Again, a nice response from Paolini there. What were you expecting her to say? Like, in terms of, were you happy with the answer that she gave?
Yeah, I thought she'd say something like that, yeah. Yeah, just like, to me it was like, she's, you know, he said it, she heard it, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't like taking it in,
believing, because, it,
yeah,
yeah.
It's funny, like, it feels like belief is like a common theme in her whole career, and just like how it's taken a long time for her to believe that she could be, you know, playing against and beating the best players in the world. Yeah. She said that a lot during the French Open run, and now it's been the same kind of, you know, she's gone over that hurdle. But taking that belief to grass, and understanding that she can still play her best tennis on this surface, and yeah, and just seeing now she has so much confidence, just how well she's playing.
Unreal.
Consistently.
Because obviously you were there at Roland Garros as well. Like, does this feel, obviously it's different, but like, yeah, what would you say are like kind of, if there are any differences, like in terms of seeing her progress, how she's progressing? Like, I think at the French it was more of a shock, because it was like her first time going so deep at a Grand Slam, whereas here it's like people kind of know what to expect now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still shocked just by her doing it on the surface, where she had, you know, where it was so, like, I actually, like, in a way, I'm kind of more surprised with this than the French Open.
Interesting.
Just because, like, even though her results on clay weren't even actually that good going into the French Open, like, compared to what she was doing on hard courts earlier, it still was just like, that's the surface she spent her whole life on.
And
I knew she was great at tennis, whereas just adjusting to grass so quickly, and also, like, I was asked about her movement, and she was also just like, it seems like she's found it quite easy to adjust.
Because she's a good mover. Like, yeah, she's a very good athlete.
Yeah. Mm. But like, some players don't adjust well on grass. Moving, how slippery it is, how, like, when you're changing directions, not everyone can, like, well, and not even, like, it, even when players do it, can take some time, but it just seems to have clicked with her really quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just been kind of, yeah, it's just really impressive to see what she's been doing.
And now she's the first Italian woman as well to reach the last four at Wimbledon, which is again a massive achievement. So she just continues to just break so many kind of records, both personally and in terms of her country too, which is just fantastic. Her next opponent is Donna Vekic, the Croatian, unseeded Donna Vekic. Yeah. Vekic came through in three sets against Lulu Sun, who beat Emma Raducanu in the previous round. Coming into that match, so they played three times before, and Paolini leads the head-to-head 2-1, and their last meeting was in Montreal last year. Paolini won that 7-6, 6-2. So yeah, this will be their first meeting on grass. How are you expecting that one to go?
Vekic is obviously a very solid grass court player. I was saying actually to someone else that even though I knew she hadn't made a Wimbledon quarterfinal, you still kind of would have expected her to, given how she's played on grass, at some point a draw would open up a bit, she'd be playing well and she'd make it there. So I'm not really, particularly, given what's happened in this bottom half of the draw, not really surprised that she's, found herself deep in the tournament. And we'll see. It definitely bodes well for Paolini that she already has, that they've played each other and that she has a good head-to-head.
Do you think the head-to-heads, matter as much? Because I don't know. I don't think they do, but...
I mean, I don't think, I think it just, in terms, it can change. We've seen today with Medvedev and Sinner, their head-to-head, it's just a mess.
Now, all over the place.
Yeah, because Medvedev won the first six matches, Sinner won the next five matches, and then Medvedev won today, so... But I do think,
and on the Paolini, she beat Navarro.
But I do think matchups like players how their game matches up against certain players, and against Services certain other players, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So from that sense, I think it's probably helpful, particularly given how much of a better player Paolini is now compared to when
that's a good point.
She got some of those wins that I think that that helps. And I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, it's a massive opportunity, pressure, chance to go to a slam final. But given that Paolini's already just made one, you kind of, I do think, certainly she goes in as a favourite. And I'd kind of back her to handle the pressure more.
Same.
But we'll see. The thing.
Definitely.
It's a new, totally new experience and opportunity. So. For both, I think both of them are going to have to, handle that and deal with it and keep on moving.
In terms of Vekic's run as well to the semis, so she's played five matches. Four of those matches have gone to three sets. So she's only had one straight sets victory. So she's got more kind of hours on court than Paolini. Her run, so she beat Jastrzemska, the 28th seed, in the third round. Paula Badosa in the fourth round, that was a good win. Again, Badosa unseeded too, which is crazy. And then Redovic in the quarterfinal, and then, now she has, I say Redovic, it's Lulu Sun.
Sun. She has seven names.
Okay. So, Sun in the quarterfinals, and now Paolini in the semis. So, obviously, Paolini's going to be her biggest test yet. And like you said about the pressure as well, on Paolini's side, because her being the seventh seed, she's the favourite. She's expected to win that. But the way she's kind of been playing this fortnight and you could say this season, she's dealing with that pressure pretty well. So fantastic to see, man. And just obviously very happy for Paolini. I'm looking forward to this one. So Thursday is going to be a very good day. I know Lucy's very excited too about that. So we look forward to Thursday and covering Jasmine Paolini, Donna Vekic. In other news, before we kind of close, because that's literally the only match in terms of backspin, kind of interest. But there obviously a lot kind of happened today. So the world number one, Jannik Sinner, he went out, as Tamani alluded to earlier. So Daniil Medvedev beat him in five sets. Medvedev now meets the defending champion Carlos Alcaraz in the semis after Alcaraz beat Tommy Paul in four sets. You watched Sinner Medvedev. What was kind of the biggest kind of takeaway from that match?
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one because it was tight first set. Like neither of them dropped serve until the tiebreak, and Medvedev had Sinner double forward at 5-all, and then Medvedev like just kind of bricked two forehands, but it ended up with Sinner taking the first set. Then Medvedev came back and was, you know, had a 2-1 lead.
When did the trainer come out? Because I think Sinner had the trainer come out.
Yeah, yeah. So that was early in set three.
Yeah.
And so Sinner was, he obviously, the energy was a bit low, and you could see he was like kind of trying to deal with something, dealing with something between points. But it was still like the level was still decent. Medvedev was struggling a bit with his serve, but also he also in the important moments he served well. You know, he was aggressive. He's hitting his, attacking his forehand, coming to the net a bit. I thought like it was, and even though Sinner was, you know, again struggling a bit, he was still playing quality tennis, yeah. And like he trying to shorten the points even more and attacking. So he was dangerous, and I thought Medvedev just handled it very well, and just, you know, he could have panicked after he was up 2-1, and then Sinner rolled through the fourth set. Medvedev could have panicked, but he got his shit together at the start of the fifth, and also in terms of panicking, I mean, like, you know, he could, you know how Medvedev is, tantrums or whatever.
There was none of that today.
Yeah, exactly. He kept his composure and just saw it out. So that was a very professional win. So.
Yeah, to close out 6-3 in the fifth, that's impressive. Hopefully Sinner's okay though, because like you said, to have the trainer come out, and he didn't look physically, he didn't look great.
Like, yeah.
During that match.
Yeah, and he said it's just like a bug or something. He wasn't feeling good
Something going around. Like, yeah. A lot of players are saying that they're not physically like 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully that's nothing too serious. But fair play to Medvedev, and good. Well, I say good luck to him. He's got Carlos Alcaraz next after Alcaraz, took out Tommy Paul. Did Paul win the first set? I want to say he didn't.
So Paul was up a set and a break. He was up 7-5-2 love. And then Alcaraz just kind of switched it and just rolled him. So
Alcaraz again beating another American, although TFO took him to 5. But he's just something else, man, on this surface. Like, did you watch much of that match? Well, you probably couldn't.
Alcaraz TFO? No.
Alcaraz Paul.
Bits of it as well.
Okay,
yeah.
What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think Alcaraz just, he started slowly. And Paul is tough and a tough opponent for him as well. Like, Paul can kind of match his athleticism and to an extent. And like, you know, kind of he has his own box of tricks. But as soon as he got back into the second set, then he just rolled with it and was just, you know, in control of everything.
And what about the TFO Alcaraz match?
Going to watch, like, after this, I'm going to watch it back. But I was... I missed the weekend matches because I was at a wedding.
On Friday, yeah.
So I was driving down from Rome to Tuscany when this was happening, like live scoring on my phone.
Unbelievable! Yeah, you missed a good one. I'd definitely say go and check out some of the highlights because that was an epic. And I know TFO, we kind of spoke afterwards, and he said like he had him, and he did. So that's a tough one to take on Francis, but I think again that also shows to take the defending champion to 5 sets. Like, I like where his game's at in terms of Francis at the moment.
Definitely, So I think this was a big tournament for him.
Massive, exactly.
And now, like, I guess the challenge is just continuing that. He's obviously not going to Olympics. Going to DC and just continuing to. Just continuing that form,
exactly.
Trying to string together wins,
and I think for the Americans too. Me and Yusuf, we spoke about it as well. Like, it's a long time to kind of be away from home. Like, this European is tough for a lot of them,
especially with, I mean, the ones who are also going to
and exactly. Yeah. So it's a long, long time to be away. So I know a lot of them are itching to get back to the States, and I think we will start to see like the results kind of showing in terms of like being, you know, home, like. they're going to be going deep in tournaments, probably winning a lot of them as well. And you know, we'll see how that goes for them. But yeah, I think that's always something we should always like remember, like for the Americans and like the Australians too, Asians as well. Like they spend a lot of time in Europe. So yeah, but no, fair play to Alcaraz, and that's going to be a very good match against Medvedev. I don't know what their head to head is, but is Medvedev?
Well, let's see.
You'd say Alcaraz is the favorite, though, surely.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Alcaraz is definitely the favorite. Yeah,
third seed.
I think he's the tournament favorite now, particularly with Sinner going out. That was obviously a tough one. Yeah. Alcaraz leads the head to head 4-2.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah. Medvedev got that big win at U.S. Open last year.
Because that's the match I'm thinking about. I thought that was him being ahead in the head to head, but okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Other than that, so the last one was Indian Wells this year. Alcaraz won. Yeah, it's been quite emphatic for Alcaraz. But aside from that big match at the U.S. Open where Medvedev was amazing, and Alcaraz struggled.
Who do you think is going to win the men's?
I think Alcaraz. Did
you think that before?
Yeah, okay. He's been my pick, so I'm sticking.
Yannick Sinner was Lucy's. Sorry, Lucy. And I'm not laughing at Yannick Sinner. I'm laughing at Lucy. Sorry. But no, fair play. Yeah, I think Alcaraz will probably end up doing it. And what an achievement that would be to defend after winning it for the first time last year. Let's talk about some mixed doubles. So Heather Watson and Joel Salisbury, their first round mixed doubles match was one of the only matches to be finished on the outside courts because it's been horrible in terms of weather today. They're through to the second round after beating Sander Gil, I'm not sure if that's Gil or Gil, Belgian, and Nadia Kichanok of the Ukraine. So yeah, they're through to the second round. Day 10 now. Play is going to start at 10:30 a.m. Play usually starts at 11 o'clock on the outside courts, but yeah, because of the rain, there's like a backlog of matches, so they've got to rush through the schedule. And yeah, we've got a lot of juniors in action, and a lot of women in the doubles and mixed as well. So we'll keep you posted like on our socials for all of that. Tamani, is there anything else you want to add? nice quick episode.
I'm just looking forward, man. Looking forward to about seeing that Paulini Vekic. Tomorrow's going to be big as well with the
tomorrow
women.
Tomorrow too. Yeah. So who's playing on the women's side?
Ostapenko versus Kvitova. So match between like slam champion, French Open champions, trying to win their second.
How do you see that going?
I'm not sure. I could see. I'll go. I don't know. I don't
You're
know.
Struggling.
I think they're both playing. Like Ostapenko's been playing unbelievable, so I guess I'd go with her. But Krejcikova was also really good against Collins.
Yeah.
And like, I just think Krejcikova is just like such a nice player.
Do you think Lil Wayne will fly in if Ostapenko makes the final?
I mean, they have to let him in. But he better be at the U.S. Open because.
Oh yeah, I'm expecting him.
Yeah. That's so funny.
It's nuts.
Yeah. It's so funny.
And then who's in action on the men's side is Novak tomorrow.
Novak Djokovic against Demino.
Okay.
And then Fritz against Musetti.
How do you see those two going?
I think the favorites will win both. I think Fritz will beat Musetti and Djokovic. I mean, with his knee, will keep on going.
Good night. Oh no, it was good. Yeah, what were your thoughts on that? Because did you cover that yesterday?
I wrote an article about it today.
So just give us a quick
to go back, because Rune, the historian, explained it as well. Just so when Djokovic played Rune in the US Open 2021, when Rune was like 18, the fans were kept on going Rune,
because that's like his thing now. For the fans.
And so they were doing the same thing in that match the other day, and like to me, I just like it sounds like it does. Like if you don't understand what's happening, it sounds like booing.
Boo, yeah.
But like to me, like fans were just like having fun.
Exactly.
Like they were just like that. You could hear them. Like they'd be, they'd be laughing and. You know, probably a bit of alcohol, enjoying it.
Of course, it was an evening match as well. Yeah.
And you could, and also like it was. I'm pretty sure it was only like initially it was only like a couple people, and then more and more people started joining in. So it wasn't even like it was, you know, premeditated. Yeah, people just like, I thought people, to me, like even before anything happened, I just thought people were just having fun. And I'm sure it does, like, I'm sure people were also rooting for Rune to root against Djokovic, because, you know, but that's just for sports,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, underdog versus exactly.
Yeah, but then, of course, yeah, Djokovic just wasn't happy. And
do you think he took it the wrong way, basically?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think so.
And that's what your piece is saying,
yeah,
essentially, okay.
And like, I do think, like, again, I do think probably there are people there who were like, yeah, I don't like Djokovic, I'm going to root for Rune, I'm going to join in.
Yeah.
But but even when they're saying that, I don't think it was like, they were booing him, because I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Like, they're doing it after Rune would win points. It's not like Djokovic would, like, you know, throw a racket and they'd be like, Rune. They weren't doing that. So, yeah, I think it was just, they were just having fun. And yeah, I think, yeah, Djokovic, it was so funny. Like, the interview and how, because, like, the BBC interviewer was like trying, not BBC, well, just the person on court.
Richie Passat, I think.
Yeah. And he was just trying to, like, keep the vibes good. And he was, like, first was like, you know, I'm sure you must have enjoyed, you know, the interaction with the crowd.
Like, nah.
And then Noah was like, nah, yeah. And then he was like, but I'm sure they were just cheering Rune. And Noah was like, nah.
But I've been doing it. What do you say? I've been on tour for, like, 20 years or something. Like,
I know, yeah. And, yeah. And then what do you say? I can't even, it was a lot. But
yeah, for me, Novak is like Novak, innit? Like, you have to respect him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is funny seeing him get like rattled, like, as a fan. Like, yeah, it's just entertainment.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, I do respect the way he, you know, it was like I took that personal moment.
Yeah.
Where, like, he used it to win, which I respect. That's good. That's
yeah, no, a good point.
Fine by me.
Good point.
But yeah, I didn't think it was much. Yeah, the people having fun at an entertainment event isn't really an issue in my mind.
Who's the other women's match? Because we forgot to talk about.
You mean tomorrow? Rybakina versus Svitolina.
Of course. Which will be, that's huge. Actually,
I think,
how do you see that going?
I think Rybakina is the tournament favourite, and she seems good. Like,
she's the highest seed left.
And I mean, you know, the one who's been making it deep a lot. I mean, her tennis isn't the issue. It's the fact that she gets ill, like, you know, so frequently.
Yeah.
But she seems to be good here. So she's definitely the tournament.
Have you spoke to her? Like, have you had like a one-to-one like interview?
Not recently. In the past year. Yeah.
What was last year?
She was like, I think like she was okay. She's been fine with me. Like. I spoke to her last year after she won. In 2022 after she won Wimbledon, and I think again last year at some point, and like just, you know, I've interacted with her plenty of times. She's been fine. It was a bit. The French Open was a bit of a mess, really.
Yeah, because she kind of got at like, well, the questions being asked, saying this is basically it's boring. Like,
I wasn't crazy about that. To be honest, it wasn't.
But Tamari, let's be real. Like, some of the questions, though, man. Like, I say we're guilty. I'm not. Me and Lucy, we're not guilty. And you're not too. You keep it refreshing, basically. But some of the questions are very repetitive.
Of course, yeah. And I get that. Yeah, for sure. With her, though, I mean, part of the issue is, and yes, there are some questions that are like just downright terrible as well. But with her, like, it's like she's obviously very introverted and quiet. And she doesn't give much. Like, even when it goes to, like, ask, like, 10 people the same question, and you'd probably get, she'd kind of be less willing to kind of open up. And that's fine. Like, I'm like...
Introvert. I'm an introvert.
Yeah. Mm. But at the same time, then, like, being like, oh, I don't get any good questions. I feel like you can't have it both ways, right? We can, like...
No, maybe she was feeling herself a little bit, but you know, I'm gonna give her that one, man. Like, but I hear you, because obviously reporters have a job to do too. So and sometimes there's a line. I say a line. Your editor might say, "Oh, we need this answer. Like, go and get this ask this question because we want to hear what they have to say." Like, not to cut you, but Giovanni Pecci-Pericard yesterday. I was in there with like two other English-speaking journalists. One was from the Daily Mail. Don't know his name, apologies. But he was like, yeah, guys, basically, I'm not really here to ask about tennis questions. I'm here to ask about the French election. And I was like, it's a bit heavy, isn't it? He goes, oh, yeah, but that's what the bosses want. I was like, okay. But like, it did make me think, like, bloody hell, like, this isn't this has nothing to do with tennis.
What did he say? Now I'm curious.
So yeah, to be fair, Petri Perukkanen, he just said, yeah, I'm not really here to talk about politics. Like, I'm here to focus on my tennis. So I've not really been paying attention to, and I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So he, obviously the reporter didn't get the kind of answer that he wanted, but yeah, he asked the question that I didn't think was appropriate, but I guess, yeah, when you've got a job to do, that's kind of what you have to do, I guess. But yeah, that's something Guardi would never tell you to do, I'm guessing, to my
No. I don't, like, the thing is, I don't, like, I think it's fine for, my thing is, I think it's fine for a player to say no, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, there's some questions that are terrible and are just, like, inappropriate, but even someone like that about the election is... You can say no comment.
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like players don't get that sometimes. Like, you don't have to answer these questions.
Because sometimes you see that, I say sometimes, a lot of the time you see them, like, with their agent or someone who, like, represents them, they're sitting in the room with them. Yeah. I guess to kind of, like, if anything was to come up, they may intervene. Like, so, yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. But yeah, Tamon, I think that's actually it. So... thank you so much for joining me, man. Much appreciated. We won't leave it for long.
Yeah.
Next time, like, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but yeah, we have to get you on. I'm gonna say maybe after Wimbledon. We'll see where you're at.
Whenever I'll be free.
Okay.
Earlier? Did you talk about? So I've been asking players about I've been at Orangi a lot, okay, at the practice courts.
So Orangi, guys, is where the players practice. We're not allowed on Orangi, but like Tamani are.
I've got a picture of you there behind Annie Murray.
We'll get into that another day, but yeah.
But so just seeing players call their lines, like calling their own line.
Wicked question.
I asked that to Sloane, actually. Okay. I was sitting next to Lucy as well. And Sloane just gave the most hilarious answer. She flipped it. She was like, a few days earlier, she was playing and the girl thought she was cheating and she had to go, it became like a whole situation and she had to go and, it was so funny, and she had to go and, like, clear the air with this player. And then she like gave this, like, 3 days ago, she was like, don't go and look at the you know, practice schedule. If you do, I'll deny it. Like, if you see who I was training with on that day, I'll deny it.
You know who she was training
with. No, I couldn't. Of course I went and looked, but it said, like, Sloane Stephens and then, like, a dash, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if I need to, like, check a day earlier. But
fascinating.
and then I asked Coco the same thing. And she was like, I saw you looking. I saw you there. You were listening to our conversation, right? Actually, it wasn't, but it was funny.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that, like, little bit of insight. Coco is a really good interview, actually. And Sloane, to be fair. I don't think I've actually been to a Sloane presser.
Oh,
it's Lucy that goes to most of Sloane's.
Next time you need... like, Sloane's just... she's just...
she's a good time.
She's at the point in her career where she's just, like... she just doesn't care. Yeah. She's not out here trying to take herself seriously and be uptight.
Just hella chill.
She's just chill. She's gonna, you know, obviously if she loses, it's different. Yeah. But when she wins, she'll crack jokes.
Of course.
Yeah.
And shout out to her too, because she got a podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That was nice because she was talking about that. Lucy asked her, and she was talking about how she started a book. You know, she was writing blogs.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
But then she said, like, not enough people were reading them, but that she could reach more people with the podcast. They talk like, and Lucy was like, but like complimented her and was like, I think there was a blog post about just like her hairstyles and the protective hairstyles she wears when she's playing tennis and, like, you know, traveling. And, you know, they had, like, a moment where, you know, Lucy was complimenting her. Aww.
Black girl some love. Love that.
And I'm sure, you know, in her long career, she's almost rarely ever had a moment, you know.
Well, that's a nice thing to say to Mario. That's a really, really cool thing. I love that. But no, that's brilliant. I love that. It's unlucky for Sloane because she went out first round or second round. I think first round, didn't she?
Second round, she won her first match.
She did win her first round match, second round match. And then I think double, she also lost in the first round with Aisling Kruger. So yeah, attention's now turned to the US summer swing for Sloane. So we look forward to seeing her there. But yeah, someone, I think that should wrap it up now. So
yep.
Again, man, thank you for joining me today. And guys, thanks for tapping in. Lucy will be back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Lucy, you were missed today, but I hope you've enjoyed your rest. And I know you're happy for Jasmine. So yeah, it's been a good day. So yeah, guys, until next time, take care.